It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than spilling your to-go margarita. Nobody likes that. You can join the chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com, clicking live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook via Facebook Live and Zoom. Audio is better on davincomedy.com, but you get to see the beauty that is us three. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I am joined by Mr. Sunny Disposition, Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Good evening. How are you?
I am fantastic. And it's good. Always rainy in Pip's house. Hello, Pip Elix.
Hi.
There you go. We're back. We're still dealing with the pandemic. We're ready to go. We got a full show for you. There is an effort to make Juneteenth a holiday, but it may cost you Columbus Day. We'll see what you guys think about that. The Simpsons will no longer use white voice actors to be voices of characters of color, easy for me to say. A cop gets fired for an anti-cop social media post. Donald Trump's campaign gets suspended from Twitch. New York Governor Cuomo says if you travel to states with high COVID-19, and there's a lot of them, infection rates, you'll lose your state benefits. Drunks in the news is Iowa legalizes bars and restaurants to sell those cocktails to go and delivery. And we will resume our scamming scammers with maybe she's a Forex scammer, maybe she's looking for love in all the wrong places. The very intriguing Carolyn Fuchs, how is everybody feeling today?
I'm feeling all right. I gotta say something. I posted something last night on Facebook, and people have been very sweet and supportive, but I put it on there kind of like not as a feel sorry for me thing, but just as a comment. Basically, I've been like the past couple of, you know, the past month or since March, you get to feel like you're like Eeyore with all the bad news you're getting. You're losing relatives, your job, your gigs, blah, blah, blah. And you're just going with emotions, and you're like, okay.
Nobody wants to be my friend.
Okay, the way it is. And you keep going, and I feel like I'm Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. You're just going, and then I felt bad because I posted it. I reworded it about three different times because I felt bad because people go, "Don't worry, Joe. It's going to be okay." Or Joe, you can do it. And I'm like, I'm not really looking for sympathy. I was kind of going for a joke, and you know, I felt bad. You know, it was flattering that people were
that way. Wait, hold on. I saw your post. That was a joke. What are you? The joke writer for the president? That wasn't a joke. I've seen your jokes. Your jokes are funny. That wasn't a joke. That looked like a guy who was depressed and reaching out on social media.
It was, you know, because I rewrote it three times because I didn't, I had a great weekend. You know, it's not like I'm bummed. I mean, I had a great weekend. I mean, I went to the beach on Saturday. I was at the compound on Sunday. Compound on the beach on Friday, the compound on Saturday. So Joe's girl on Sunday. So I had a great weekend. I'm actually very upbeat. You know, things are what it is. But like I said, you know, with everything going on, plus Charlie Daniels, who was one of my idols and was a big part of my, you know, teenage years, passed away. And it just seems like one thing after another, it doesn't faze you anymore. And you're just so used to dealing with bad news and things that are closed, and you just feel like Eeyore. And I tried to make it as general as I can, and I get, you know, I guess it may be because I had the big old Eeyore on that, but I just wanted to use that as an effect. But, you know, I mean, people were very nice, but I, you know, I guess maybe people saw it as I was in a big depression and I was looking out for a little comfort, and people did, but, you know, I'm like, gee whiz.
Social media is a great place to go for comfort. I tell that to everyone. If you're ever feeling down, post it on social media. What I say is, if you're really, really depressed, come out with an opinion about something controversial, because the comments will really uplift you.
Oh, dear God, yeah.
No, man, listen, I saw your post. I saw your post. I think you're putting a sunny spin on it because you might have had a good weekend. I think you're depressed. I think it's kind of normal to be depressed right now. It's been a shitty year. It's kind of weird if somebody isn't depressed. It kind of weighs on you. I mean,
yeah, that's what I was saying. So my whole thing was, and I reworded it three different times. It wasn't as woe is me. It's woe as woe all of us.
Yeah. Well, here's the
like Eeyore going day by day, you know.
Here's the part that's kind of hopeless, and I've kind of, you know, say what you want about me. I don't fucking give a shit. Most of you do anyway. But I've kind of seen this coming. I've been kind of saying all along, if we don't attack this from an intelligent point of view, we're going to be stuck in this, and we're seeing it now. And I don't, you know, fuck it. I'm going to get a little political. The guy who told us, you know, we got to open up those economies and put the pressure on the states, and we see what's happening in those states. Today he's like, we're going to open up the schools. No way we're going to close. Shut the fuck up, you asshole, you. Everybody wants the schools open the same way everybody wants the economy open. If you want the economy open up, you have to open up the schools. If you want the schools to open up, and it kills me to say because it's my line of work, you got to close the bars and nightclubs and restaurants, man. That's where we see the spread. If you are serious about doing this properly, you have to have everybody wear masks and social distance and crack down on that stuff. And we have to do what every other country did. We can't do this 50 states 50 different ways. And listen, I feel better because more things are open up now. We really had it bad a couple months ago, but things are not normal. I feel better because I'm in a state where my governor pays attention to science and not political pressure. I posted this on social media. I feel bad for the red states because he's going to put pressure on these governors to open up. And you know what? Open up when it's safe. You just can't will it. That's what people don't understand. So yeah, that's why I'm depressed. It seems like there's no end in sight. And we got my daughter a haircut appointment for the end of the week. Not because it has to be happen now, but I told her. I told my family. I go, listen, you better do the shit you want to do now because things are going to get closed. And we've seen New York and New Jersey start to roll things back. Why are they rolling things back? Because people are traveling. People are going out. People aren't being as responsible. I'm not even being as stringent as I was, which I'll get into. I saw your pictures, Joe. You're not as stringent as you were. It looked like you were having a good time, but I don't think you were making the decisions this past weekend that you were making a month and a half ago. And it's human, man. We're tired of this. It's draining, and we look and we see other places having a good time, and it's like, and it's called the invisible enemy. But we got to be mentally tough. So yeah, man, it's depressing. If you came on and said, "No, I feel fucking great," I think you were on something. There's no way. I mean, I still think you might be on something. But there's no way. No. There's no way to go through what we've gone through since, I'll say mid-March, since we shut down. There's no way to go through what we've gone through and be aware of what's going on and be good. The only way to do it is to be one of these deniers. And we all know those deniers, those people that no matter what comes in, they go, no, it's fake, and this is the reason why, but. We've talked about them. That's the only, and those people are filled with anger, so they're not happy anyway. Those people are always fucking angry.
Well, I tell you, I was in 7-Eleven, ironically on the way to the compound to get some beer, and I go into 7-Eleven, and there's this guy in there that walks in without a mask. He's one of these jerk-offs, he's like, hey, let's go. I go, where's your mask? I go, go get it. And I told the guy, I go, I'm at 7-Eleven. I go, tell this guy to go put a mask on and throw him out. And, you know, and you look at these guys, you tell the guy, the clerks there, they look at you like you told them you were Jesus Christ, the Lord. They're not going to do that. They're not doing anything.
Well, I'll defend them, and good for you. I'll defend them, these clerks, because you know what? We've seen assholes get in their face and be really aggressive when they've tried that. It's an uncomfortable situation to be in. But you'll be proud of me. Yesterday, for the first time, I told somebody to put a mask on. And I never do that. I talk, yeah, look at Pip. Her mouth is open. I want to insert my cock in it. But... And now it's closed. I ruined it. Anyway, like I always do when I see an open mouth. No, but I was in Walmart walking out, and there's I think he happened to be a Jewish guy. Not even a mask hanging incorrectly on his face. There's no mask anywhere around this guy. I go, put a mask on, dude. I mean, and we're starting to see more of bad behavior as far as masks in New York, where it's an executive order that we have to wear it, because people are tired of it. And it's like I've been saying all along, COVID-19 don't give a shit. It doesn't care about your feelings. It doesn't care who you voted for. It doesn't care what you think. It's just a fucking virus, and people don't get it. And I saw it in your pictures. I'm like, there's no way. You look like you're having a great time. There's no way Anthony would have held that party a month and a half ago, because we've talked about parties.
No, not at all. And you gotta think about his reason. Now, Anthony's not an idiot. Anthony is a very intelligent, you know, very intelligent person. Okay. Now, when they're doing the compound shows, are still from there, you know?
And from where?
You've got. From the house.
He's doing it from the house, but the rest, everybody else is doing it from the studio.
Everybody else is doing it from the studio. So he's been doing it from the house, and they've been very guarded on who goes there. You know, I mean, I used to go when the show first started. It's 10 minutes from the day program. I would go every afternoon, and I would go hang out at the show. You know, hang out and stuff like that. You can't go. You're not allowed to go. You know, because you want to do that. So, you know, because you want to make sure that, you know, that's, you know, Dave Landau and the guy that's the engineer and stuff like that are staying healthy. But Ann felt it was safe enough. But, you know, there wasn't a whole, you know, there was people there, but it wasn't like a humongous party. That it was, you know, that was enough to have, have people over.
Listen, there was enough there. And again, I just saw the pictures and I saw the way you were crowded with people. There was enough there to have infection spread. I was surprised he did it because Anthony has been on the cautious side and I believe the correct side with this, you know, canceling parties. You know, Anthony likes to have a good time. He doesn't like, he doesn't like to shut shit down. You know, he's always an excellent host. You know, that's one of his, you know, strengths of characters with him. But I was surprised to see that, and I was surprised you were embracing it the way you did, because you were, like, smushed in there. I get it, but I'm just like, yep, Joe's tired. Joe's had enough of this. He's throwing caution to the wind. Because, you know, God forbid you get it. You have one of those pre-existing conditions that makes you very, very susceptible. I mean, I never do anything at all. I mean, this is going to be my palest summer ever, because there's no reason for me to go outside. I'm not playing ball or anything, which drives me nuts. But we were sitting home 4th of July. We get an invite from one neighbor to go out, hang out in the backyard, barbecue, blah, blah, blah. Then we get, 10 minutes later, we get an invite from the other neighbor on the other side of me. And the wife's like, what are we going to do? I go, we're going to do this sitcom style and try to be two places at once. Except if it was Three's Company. You know, if it's Three's Company, you're Jack Tripper, you're running upstairs, and then you're running downstairs to Mr. Furley's or Mr. Roper's, and then back upstairs.
Right.
I mean, that's what we did, but, you know, we were hanging out in the backyard, and we're still outside, and you still try to keep a distance, but I don't know if I would have done that a month and a half ago. I got my best friend is coming up here, weather permitting, Friday, you know, again, still outside. I'm still making much better decisions than a lot of people, but even I know I'm tired of this shit.
You get a little tired of it, and just a little bit on the president. I heard what the president was saying. He wants to be aggressive on getting people back to school. We'll see how far that goes, because you do have parents, for right or wrong, you do have parents that are wondering what's going to happen.
Let me speak. Let me speak as a parent. Let me speak as a parent to that. Every parent wants their kid in school for many reasons. Most importantly, because it's better for our kids to be in school. They get a better education. They miss the social interaction. You can actually put your kid on a schedule. And if your kid's in school, you can actually do your job, whether you work from home or you have to go to your place of business. Everybody wants their kid in school. But you can't just wish it. You're not Genie. You're not Samantha on Bewitched. And this motherfucker doesn't get it. And unfortunately, maybe the governors won't cave. I think they will, the red ones, because they caved on the economy, and now they're all getting their asses kicked. And you had stupid DeSantis, you know, strutting like a rooster, like he knew it was best. And now, and he go, that state is getting fucking hammered, Florida, right now. He's like, oh no, we're definitely opening up the schools. Slow the fuck down. Why don't you see where you are in a month from now? Yeah, I mean, make plans like you're going to open up, but you can't be making statements today that you're going to definitely open up, because here's the news. Here's the thing. Florida is getting hit now worse than they were when we were shut down in March. See, you know, Joe always talks about, well, different areas are hit differently, and he it's a valid point. But these places, so Trump's going to put these places that opened up early and now are getting crushed with it, he's going to put the pressure on them to go to school, and you know what his fucking filthy state, I think it was the State Department. So now we, you know, people from all over the world, they come to our country for education, for university. A lot of these universities.
For university? Where are you from, England? For university.
Well, that's what they look at. They call it university. Whatever, Joe.
They call it for university.
Anyway. They come here for college, for lumberjack schools, in Joe's case, whatever the fuck it is. they come here for an education. Now, a lot of these schools have said, listen, we're going to do at least the first semester, we're going to do online learning. That's what we're going to do. So what's the Trump administration do to all these foreign students? They go, all right, well, if your school, you cannot online learn here. If it's online learning, you either have to go home or transfer to a school where you're in person. What fucking type of, justify that. How is that even rational? It doesn't make sense. It's just mean, it's just evil, and it's just petty, which is what this guy is, which is the book his niece has coming out real fucking soon. That'll be a page turner. But I mean, there's no reason to do something like that. It's just to be vindictive. And that's what this guy is. And listen, you see it in all the polls. He's losing his base because people are sick of this shit. It has nothing to do with Joe Biden being spectacular. It has a lot to do with, wow. It's like, wow, that guy has a soul at least. Give us somebody with a soul. You could run dipshit Sarah Palin right now, and if it looked like she had a soul, she would beat Donald Trump right now. Because stuff like that, there's no justification. It's just being mean. These kids are here legally. They have the visa. There's a pandemic. Their schools are being cautious. And by the way, the schools are charging just as much whether you stay on campus or not. All the people that were going to stay on campus, they're not refunding that money. Most of them aren't giving a discount. They're keeping the prices the same. So the schools are assholes too. But it's just fucking amazing. But then again, what do you expect from the guy that doesn't give a shit about his own people? Come on, see me at Mount Rushmore. Pile in. You don't have to wear a mask. What, my son's girlfriend has it? Ah, fuck it. Who cares? It's not me. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit. And that's the part that's depressing. And I think even you, Joe, I think even you realize the leadership has been lacking at this point.
Well, it's basically, you know, he is playing to his base, and
you're the base. You are the base. You've been with this guy since 2015, and even you, the past couple, you defended it. I will say, through mid-May, beginning of June, you defended how he was handling it. Like, we'll see. Past couple of weeks, you're like, we've seen.
Well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, once again, you know, he's kind of putting it on the governors of the states. He should be more clear cut and have a more clear cut plan on that. Now that could hurt him, but he's got to realize that part of the whole thing with the pandemic is getting it under control, and you really can't get it, you can't get the economy under control until you get that under control. And it's been you know, everything with this disease is kind of a new thing. I mean, you know, when we were told that it does not do well in heat.
No. He said that. The scientists didn't say that. He said that. He said it's just going to disappear. He said it again last week, and I got to stop you right there. We don't know. No, Joe, we do know, because we saw pretty much every other country that was on the trend we were on, they got that shit way down because they were more disciplined.
You also said that, but there was an indication that it might from some in the science community that it might, due to how the flu virus goes and how this virus reacts, that it might dissipate somewhat over the summer.
But this is not influenza. This is not influenza.
That was some in the scientific community that said, not all, but it was some in the scientific community that said that. Now, you have hope. You don't take it as gospel, but you have hope.
You know how I knew that was bullshit? Because during spring break, which was March, a lot of the college kids went down to Florida. It was hot in Florida. They got sick. Right there should have been the indication that the heat isn't going to do it. Because while we were freezing our asses off up here, they went down there to party on the beach, party on the water, and we saw the infections. At some point, you got to look around and go, all right, got to change course. He can't change course. He's got no plan B. That's what it comes down to. He's running the same campaign he ran in 2016, except the country's moved on. The country's like, no, man, we're not where you are right now. The country has been screaming, begging, both sides, I talked about this, for leadership. He doesn't have it. He's never been a leader. He's always been a loser. And that's the book that his niece is coming out with right now. I've been saying this for years, and I'm not even in the family. I'm an undergrad. I got a BA in psychology. She's a fucking professional, and she saw this. And now I'm not diagnosing him. But the guy's never seemed stable and willing to adapt, willing to open his arms to everybody. Now you're gonna vote for Trump no matter what. I understand that. There is nothing that Donald Trump can do at this point that will make you vote for Joe Biden. I understand that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
that's true.
That's fun.
Joe Biden, and it's also going to be interesting when the first debate, which they're going to have September 26th.
Let me ask you a question: if you're Joe Biden, would you even debate him?
If I was Joe Biden, I would be scared to debate him.
You'd be scared to, so you would not debate him out of fear.
He doesn't have the skills. He can't think on his feet anymore. And if you're going to debate with Trump, you need to think on your feet. Biden can't think on his feet. He's in the throes of dementia.
Okay, well that's not true. Anyway, but now here's why if I was Joe Biden, I would not debate Trump, and it's two reasons. One, I don't need to. This guy is self-destructing on his own. Second, Trump just lies. He lies. You can't debate somebody who's not dealing in facts. When we have our debates on the various Mother's Day and April Fools, blah, 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 we're all operating from the same facts. So we all have the same stories in front of us. We all are agreeing those are the facts, and now we are arguing our point of view. So we can all have an intelligent debate about nonsense. But a debate
Debate about nonsense. Yeah. I was like, I don't know about that.
No, but we're all saying, okay, these are the facts. Joe comes with a story. I'm not going, no, that's fake news, Joe. That's the New York Post. I don't believe that. No, Joe comes with a story. As long as it meets the qualifications, we accept that those are the facts of the story, and we go from there. And it's the same courtesy we give to each other, which is why we can have debates. You can't debate Donald Trump because he doesn't deal with facts, and his base doesn't give a shit that he doesn't deal with facts. So why would you do it? If I'm Joe Biden, I go, and I go,
you would do it because if you were on the fence on whether you're going to vote for Biden or you're going to vote for Trump, if Biden plays his cards right, he would make a case during the debate that is so self-evident that he's a liar, that Biden might be the choice.
But that was important in 2016 when we didn't know what Donald Trump is, and there was a lot of people that were on the fence. I think the vast, vast, vast majority either know. Like I said, there's no in-between with Donald Trump. You either love this guy or you hate this guy. You're either willing to overlook his shortcomings or you think he's great, or, you know, you believe, not you realize, because That's my opinion. But you go, this guy falls short. There's nothing left more that Donald Trump is going to do to close the deal. This is all, and that's what it always is with the incumbent. It's all, when you're voting for an incumbent, you're always choosing, do I want to continue the path we're on? And if you look at the vast majority of the polling, even Republicans by a large number think we're on the wrong path. Do you want to continue the path we're on, or do you want something different? That's why I'm saying, just from a strategic standpoint, I would, if I was Joe Biden, I'd say thank you, no. I would say thank you, no. And I would say, he lies. Are we going to have a fact checker on there? Is there going to, somebody who's going to cut off his microphone when he lies? If we're going to have somebody who's going to cut off his microphone when he lies, I will debate the president. If not, I see no reason. And then Donald Trump will have a hissy fit, and we'll see a bunch of memes from his 38 or 40 or 36%. But who the fuck cares? That's what I would do. Because if you're Joe Biden at this point, you don't have to debate. You're playing from way ahead because every day that jackass does something stupid. I mean, you got the Russia the hit for the Russians to pay the Taliban to kill our troops. Donald Trump is all like, hoax. Where's the leak? Not once have we said, I'm gonna fucking get to the bottom of that, and that is not gonna happen, and we will make Russia so sorry for even dreaming about that. We haven't heard that. So
where was Adam Schiff? And I'm not pointing a finger. I'm just curious. There was some news thing that was saying that Adam Schiff had information on that, but didn't feel it was credible enough or strong enough. Have you heard that?
I had heard that. I didn't check the sourcing on it. If that is true, first of all, if that is true and he said it, you wouldn't have believed him. That being said.
If
he did have this, then it was his duty to bring it to our attention. But I will give you that. But that being said, the president is like, I didn't know, this never happened. I had no idea. Really, we fucking briefed England about it. We briefed England, and you have no idea. It's one of two things. Either you have no idea, which makes it fucking terrible. You're terrible at your job, and your intel is afraid to give you information because that shit you should know about, or you fucking did know and you don't give a shit. Either way, it's not a good look. But Donald Trump doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to fight the Civil War again. He wants to go after a NASCAR guy. He wants to go after the Cleveland Indian or the Washington Redskins, and the rest of the country's like, no. Well, more the vast majority of the country, not even his base is sick. Was like, no, we kind of agree.
Well, what the problem is, and he, like I said last week, Trump's biggest opponent is Trump. Now, when he made the speech, whether you agree on the Mount Rushmore thing on 4th of July or not, the speech that he made was inspiring, okay? And then he goes and tweets out dumb shit the next day. So it's like,
I got to tell you, bro, I didn't think it was inspiring at all. Again, listen, man, it's the 4th of July. Unite the country. I know that's not your strength. Don't call people protesting rioters and Marxists and fascists and shit like that. They got a right to protest. Just like people who didn't want to wear a mask have a right to protest. He didn't call the people in Michigan who got up in the cops' face armed in the Capitol with no mask. He didn't call them rioters or fascists or anything. He's like, no, those are good people. We see the racism. We fucking see it. The vast majority of the country sees it. He's a fucking racist. You don't retweet white power with an oopsie daisy. It just doesn't happen. So now you have to make the decision. Am I going to vote for an obvious racist or not? And again, I am not somebody who's well-documented who came into this saying the guy was a racist. I always said he's a Trumpist. He's looking out for his best interest. I don't know if he's a racist, but no. He's a fucking racist. There's enough evidence there, and America sees it. So again, if I'm Joe Biden, why? Why am I going to debate this guy?
Because there is a far-left contingent that has been off the rails.
Sure.
A month and a half. Right. But do you address that? And do you feel that Biden is a weak enough candidate that he might be led by the far left that might keep this show.
I told you, Joe. I told you that's just a talking point. I told you that's just a talking point the right wants to put out. If Joe Biden has a problem, it's that he's not far enough left for a lot of the liberals. That's Joe Biden's problem. His problem is maybe enough liberals won't come out to vote for him because they're not inspired.
Do you think the possibility there that he is a regular politician and not that strong of one, where the far left, I mean, Pelosi, to her credit, and God, I'm complimenting Pelosi. Pelosi has been able to stave off that. I mean, she's far left enough, but the radical far left, she's been enough to try to stave them off. Do you think Biden would be?
Yes. He said weeks ago, I'm not in favor of defunding the police. Yes, absolutely. Joe Biden is not this dementia-riddled, wimpy thing that Fox News and the Trump talking points want to give you. Is he as quick as he used to be? No. No, he's not. But he's not going. He's not going against a guy. He's not going after Mitt Romney from 2012. And I was not a Romney fan, but nobody could call Romney dumb or slow. You might not have think he had any conviction, but nobody could call Mitt Romney stupid or not articulate.
Romney jumps on the wagon with the loudest.
Yes,
what I'm telling you is,
Donald Trump does not have high intellect. Donald Trump, you want to put out all Joe Biden's flubs and shit, we've known about him for years. Trust me, we know. Donald Trump's got more. He's got more. All this shit, and it's not sticking. And part of the reason why it's not sticking is because Biden isn't going out there. It's fucking working brilliant. Keep him in the basement. I love it. We don't have to see Biden until fucking January when he gets sworn in. I'm A-okay with that shit. And you know what? If Donald Trump was smart, they would hide him in the basement until January 2. One of the reasons why Trump was able to pull ahead at the end, and there's a lot of reasons which we're not going to get into, but one of the reasons is after the whole pussy grabbing thing, for those final couple weeks, Bannon and Kellyanne Conway got Trump to shut the fuck up. And that was the best thing they could have done for him. And he hasn't shut the fuck up since. No.
And I'm not gonna figure that.
That's what I posted today on Facebook when I was talking about schools. I go, the best thing for the country and the best thing for him to get reelected would be for him to shut the fuck up. But he's too stupid. He's too stupid. I know people want to pretend that this guy's very intelligent. He's not. I mean, I don't know if this is true, but his niece said that he paid somebody to take the SATs because he wanted to get into the Pennsylvania University. Is that really shocking if it's true? I'm not saying it's true, but would anybody go, no, that doesn't sound like the president. That doesn't sound like our guy using money to pay for a weakness. No. Nay, nay, I say. So, I mean, listen. And I don't even want to say he's surrounded by people that don't know better. He's surrounded by yes people and people that do know better. Kellyanne Conway's very smart, whatever you think about her. Kellyanne Conway's very smart. She knows what he needs to do to get reelected. He's not listening. He thinks because he pulled off a fucking fluke in 2016, he can do it again 4 years later. You got to remember, he had no resume in 2016. It was either Hillary Clinton, who had 30 years of the Republicans knocking her down and had a track record as a Secretary of State and a senator, or this guy who we didn't know anything about. Now, it's this guy who we've had 3.5 years of. And if you're happy with the 3.5 years, he's your guy. If you feel like most of us do, life kind of sucks right now, and it didn't have to be this bad. It could be anybody. I could fucking trot out there today. If the Democrats fucking put me out there, they could trot me out today, and I could beat him. Pip could beat him. You could beat him. He's that bad, and it's nothing that the Democrats did. It's nothing that COVID-19 did. It's nothing that Biden did. It's all self-inflicted because he was never qualified for the job. He never took the opportunity that was given to him. From day one, he's played to that base. Every other president, whether you love them or hated them, every other president at least initially tried to get other people on their side. They tried to unite the country, and it's gotten harder and harder and harder to do. This guy didn't do it. This guy's like, you know what? I'm just going to stick to my base. So it's funny. You talk about, you know, well, Biden caved to the left. I don't think he will, but I'll tell you what, Trump does not lead his base. His base leads him. They have so much devotion that he could take them anywhere, and he knows this, and they would follow. But he doesn't do this. He keeps on trying to pander to them because he's not a leader, and he's so desperate for love. Here's the thing about leadership. If you want to be a leader, you have to be willing to make unpopular decisions and have the confidence that you are right and people will come around to you and history will judge you. Take Obamacare. Obamacare was very unpopular when it happened. It cost the Democrats in 2010 during the midterms. They got their asses kicked during the midterms. It cost them again in 2012. Obama got reelected, but they lost more because Obama, he wanted to make healthcare his thing. Now you look at it, it's very, very popular. He was right. He did the courageous thing. He took the political heat. Trump could do the same thing. He doesn't have that type of intestinal fortitude. He doesn't have the ability. He is not willing to have everybody on his team come at him and go, no. I'm absolutely right about this. Here's why. You can hate me now. You cannot reelect me. But I'm going to do this for the country because I know this is right. He's never done that. Everything he's done, he think will be popular with his 38 or 40%. And you can't lead that way.
That could be the case, you know. But things were looking good. I mean, he had a great economy.
He did.
Working on deals with China. You know, with the COVID, you know, it kind of threw a monkey wrench in there. And I don't think he knows how to save face to get out of that.
God bless you. God bless you. Donald hears you talking about him. Donald hears you talking about him, and he's not happy with what you're saying.
I think your body is rejecting your words.
Listen, man, they said for 3 years, everything that Donald Trump, every hardship Donald Trump has incurred has been self-inflicted. COVID-19 was not self-inflicted, but he made it worse. You know, what did Obama have? What, H1N1, SARS, Ebola? He had all this shit. He had all this shit. Two Americans died of Ebola, and they were doctors who went to Africa to help fight Ebola. You know, listen. I don't want to talk all fucking night about this guy. I really don't. But it's just the reality. One of the reasons. Here's the thing that blows my mind. And I've said this a few times. I know I've said it on social media. You know, when Obama was in office, I was pretty happy. He was my guy. And yeah, I knew what the Republicans were doing. And I knew they didn't want to work with him. And I knew the slings and arrows. And I knew we were upset about an organic garden and a tan suit. And I knew people were upset about that shit. But I was happy, even with all the incoming from the Republicans. Trump supporters, and I'm not putting you in this because you generally don't post too much negative stuff on social media, to be fair. But guys that are like so far up Trump's ass where they could taste what he had for fucking lunch, they're so fucking miserable. They're so miserable. So they have to, everything, they have to own the libs. And why are you trying to get my boyfriend? They're so unhappy. So the people that should be happy right now are miserable. Then you have the libs who are fucking miserable since Trump has been in office. And that's by design.
Oh, God. Oh, God, since election night.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But then you have the people who don't give a shit one way or the other politically, who are just dealing with COVID-19 and seeing what's going on in race relations in this country, and they're fucking miserable. Everybody is miserable with this guy as president. Even the people that should be happy are miserable with this guy as president. So when you post that thing about Eeyore, everyone's like, yeah, it fucking sucks right now. This is one of the highlights of my week. Seeing your little two fucking squares on my screen is a highlight of a week. I don't even get to see you guys here anymore. Just, you know.
And that's really sad.
Yes!
This is your highlight.
My stairs miss Joe tripping down them.
Yeah, I know. I have nothing going on in life.
No, I mean, at least Joe is working right now, so that gives him, you know, he's got the day program. That gives him some purpose and everything. There is nothing good happening in this country. And like I said, the people that should be happy, because, oh, the libs are getting owned. The libs are getting owned like a motherfucker. They're miserable. I've never seen so many miserable people as Trump supporters. Every day, fucking fury. Every day, they have to post some shit from some website nobody's ever heard of to prove that they might be right about something, which they seldom are. But it's like I'm thinking, why the anger? Why the anger?
Well, you're just from the position of being a Trump supporter, you're seeing riots, you're seeing hatred towards the police, you're seeing destruction of property, you're seeing people just declaring that they want statues taken down. You know, you're seeing anarchy. It's anarchy.
It's not anarchy. You know? It's not anarchy, and you're seeing a failure to address those issues from the chief executive. That's what you're seeing. Listen, man, he is siding with the Confederacy. He's talking about our heritage. It's not our heritage. If you have ever railed against a participation trophy, if you ever said, what's these kids today, and everybody gets a trophy, then you can't be for the statues of the fucking losing team. If there was ever participation trophies, it's Confederate fucking statues. You lost, motherfuckers. Move on. Join America. The country is done with it, man. We're not saying erase history, but I'm going to tell you, you know, I know a lot more in the past couple of weeks. I didn't know about Juneteenth before. I'd never heard of. I wasn't taught Juneteenth. We were fucking cheated. We were cheated in school. If it wasn't for a fictional show on HBO, I wouldn't have known what happened to the Black Wall Street. I wouldn't have known about that. We were cheated. So you know what? If we gotta look ourselves in the mirror and go, you know what? We kind of did whitewash history. Let's talk about all of it. Let's talk about, you know, let's talk about the greatness of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and their fucking mistakes and their foibles and everything and the things they did wrong. Good. Give the kids the education. Give them it's not enough with the whitewashing stuff. It's not like I'm ashamed to be white. I'm just like, no, I want the fucking facts. As somebody who likes to know things, I want to be given the full story, and then I will decide how I feel about things. And you know what? We did some shitty things, man. If you look up Black Wall Street, it's really fucking shitty. It's really fucking shitty what happened.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, I'm not going to give a history lesson right now, but basically,
no, I'll have to look it up. But there's enough of history that we've never been taught, because it doesn't put America, white America, or just America in general, in a good light.
At the turn of the 20th century, Tulsa, Oklahoma, there was a section of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where free black people were thriving. They had a lot of money. They were doing very well. And then about 300 of them were massacred by white supremacists. That's pretty much what happened. And then the cops came, and they pretty much sided with the white people. That's the real broad scope of it. I was never taught that in school. And we should know.
Holy shit, neither was I.
I mean, you know, maybe if I took a black history class, I would have been. But really, this is our history. This is our shared history.
Just American history, yeah.
I can still feel America is great and a wonderful country and still have all the information. You know, I can look at something like that and go, like I do with the internment camps, go, well, that was awful. That was a terrible decision. Thank God we've evolved. I'm proud of ourselves that we wouldn't do that again. It doesn't make me hate America. It just makes me a better educated citizen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We should know everything that happened. I mean, you know, there are lots of things or parts of issues that, especially our history. I mean, I remember growing up and thinking that, well, later in school years that, geez, a lot of this is just like propaganda. We're always great. We're always good. And no, there are, not that you have to go into it and, you know, what's the bad side of everything. But, you know, people are, you know, human beings are flawed. Even we've talked about this. Even the greatest heroes that we have, you know, also have flaws, because you can't be a one-dimensional character and be living. But the thing is that there are atrocities that were committed by America, and we didn't hear about a lot of it.
And where we are right now, and there's a place in the country, enough people want to go, yeah, let's do this right, man. Let's make this right. The Constitution is a wonderful document. We have never lived up to the Constitution. But that is America's duty to constantly strive to do better. And we are at one of those turning points right now. We are at one of those places like we were with the Civil Rights Movement, where like enough people are like, whoa, we gotta do better. And this president is missing the opportunity, and even his own party sees it. Trump attacks Bubba Wallace yesterday, and you hear Lindsey Graham, who's been way up Trump's ass, goes, Bubba Wallace has nothing to apologize. He's from South Carolina. I know the Confederate flag is bad for business. I mean, this is easy. This is the easy shit right here. This is the easy stuff where this guy could be way ahead of Joe Biden with all the nonsense of the past 3.5 years. But he wants to have a culture war that really the vast majority of people have decided, yeah, we kind of don't like where we are. We kind of want to do better.
No, I think a large silent majority is watching all of this and has pretty much had enough of it.
Well, Joe, in every poll, and you can take polls for what they're worth, and they poll Republicans too. They think we're on the wrong track. They don't think he's handling race right. You know, they support black. It's like 76% of the country supports the Black Lives Matter movement and everything. They're not buying what Trump is selling. They're not buying that every Black Lives Matter demonstration turns into a looting, rioting, tear down the statue, kill Whitey fest. They're not buying it because the vast majority don't. And the vast majority of people didn't like CHOP in Seattle either. You know, I know it was fun to paint, well, this is what happens when the left wing, nah, even most people on the left go, yeah, we didn't like this. And most people on the left go, yeah, the Seattle mayor did not really handle that well. That should have been put down a lot sooner than it was. You can't have weeks of protesters taking over a city. Nay, nay. People live there. Businesses are there. You can come back and protest every day. But like I said a couple weeks ago at the end of the show, once the protest is over, you got to go home. You come back the next day noon. You give yourself a little lunch, a little dinner. You come back, you protest again. And then nay, nay, you go home. That's how you do this shit. Most people, yeah, you have the far left and you have the far right. They're fucking nuts. It's when you start playing to the far left and the far right that you lose. And Trump is losing.
Well, we'll see. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think there's enough of a silent majority.
But you say that, but Trump has never, Trump fans have never been silent, and he's never had the majority. He's never had the majority.
You get at a point right now that if you say you're supported for Trump, you catch a lot of flack. And a lot of polls, even polls at your ass, you know, no, I don't like Trump. But when you get in that booth on election day and you're seeing where this country's going and how the radical left is starting to infiltrate into more of the mainstream, you get kind of concerned.
So you're saying when Fox News calls and I'd like to ask you if you like President Trump, you go, not Fox News, you liberal organization, you. No, I will not give you an honest answer. No, fuck Hannity. Fuck Tucker Carlson. I don't trust you, Fox News.
And we get back to where his biggest opponent is himself. Yeah, I know.
I'm telling you, man. you can't really.
I roll my eyes once or twice during the day at his antics. Yeah, but still. Yeah.
Wouldn't you just like peace and quiet? We've talked about this before. Wouldn't you like a president who you don't see for a couple weeks at a time? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you like shows where we didn't have to talk and get a load of what stupid said this time? I miss that shit when we could just look at civilians being stupid. When you could just look at senators being stupid and local politicians being stupid. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like the president to just shut the fuck up and do presidential shit, play some golf, make some deals, you know, maybe have like one big thing that you really want to push and use your political capital on, but maybe not fucking tweet 70 times a day? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, but still, you know, for the people that voted him in, it's like you get a lion as a pet. I want a lion as a pet. I think it'd be different. And the lion destroys your house. He eats the couch. He fucking chews the mailman's leg off. And you're like, wow, well, it's a fucking lion.
Joe, you forgot one person in that antidote. Eventually, the lion eats the owner. If you,
true.
Listen, man, our own Russ Ferdico, man, he's like, I wanted to be entertained. Obama was boring. All right, you've been entertained for 3.5 full years. At some point, you go, all right, enough. Listen, man, comedy shows are great for an hour and a half. Nobody wants to hear a 3.5 hour comedy show. It's a little fucking much.
But still, with all the shit the Democrats have pulled, every fucking antic they can muster, and the best they can come up with is Joe Biden.
The best they came up with in 2016 is a failed businessman and reality fucking star. I mean, come on, that's America, man. I posted this the other day to somebody. America has more groupies than they have people who think critically in this country. This is what we get.
And I want to point something out. If you read a lot of history of presidents, a lot of them were failures before they became presidents. Failed at business, failed at farming, failed at love, failed at... I mean, a lot. You'd be surprised. You read about these guys, you would figure, you know, I mean, Washington had a lot of failures.
But he won a war, Joe! He won a revolution!
But still, you know, these are guys...
He's the father of this nation, man. I mean, yeah, he might have been unlucky in love and had a bad fucking crop. He's the father of this nation.
Don't forget the teeth.
he had some bad teeth, but they came from England. It's to be expected. He's the father of them. I mean, you know, before he was president, you know, people made fun of Ronald Reagan. Oh, he wasn't qualified. He was some actor. Yeah, before that, he was the governor of fucking California. It's not a valid argument. It's not like he was fucking giving yogurt samples out at the mall and stumbled into the presidency. He was the governor of California. The guy had some political success. He knew how to run shit. Whether you love Reagan or hate Reagan, you can't say, oh, he was a moron with no experience. Nay, he had the experience.
If we're learning anything with this, I mean, it's always been the experiment where if the country was trying to run like a business instead of in a political arena. And we're kind of finding out what that's like, you know?
Now, well, we've had this conversation before, and you've always wanted the businessman. That was your big proponent. But I've said this isn't really a test of running a country like a business, because if you really run a big business, you're an executive board, and you have shareholders to answer to. You have people to answer to, and you can get fired. His company's never been public. It's always been a private company. He's always run it by himself and not had to answer to anybody. So it's not really a good test. You know, listen, would I prefer a politician running the country than a businessman? Yeah, I probably would. That being said, I don't think you can say being a businessman and running the country makes you incapable of running the country. I think being this guy makes you incapable of running the country. But you know what? Maybe Mark Cuban would be different. Maybe Gates, maybe some other businessman would be different. Maybe the guy who owns Home Depot, yeah, he's a right-wing guy, would be different. I don't know.
You can't run the country like you run a business, because businesses are for profit.
Yep.
And governing people is not always, I mean, you want overall, you want the economy to be healthy, but running a country or even a state or a town is not all for profit. There have to be social programs and other programming that is for the good of the people. It's not necessarily a moneymaker. And so that, in that sense, if we had just a pure form businessman running the government, we'll see the kind of things that we're seeing now. We'll see the underfunding of all social programming. And if you want to see what life is like,
yeah, but I can make
social programming.
But I can make
here
the argument. But I can make the argument, Pip, that if I have strong social programs, I'm putting more money in the poor people, and that's going to spur the economy, and that's good for business. I can make that argument.
No, it is putting funding towards social programming is better for everybody.
Right, but that could be good for business too. Poor people spend money.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying that it's not an immediate moneymaker. If you invest in people, you're investing in the overall country. I agree. But it's not like, oh, this quarter we're going to see a profit because we're helping kids, you know, who come from disadvantaged backgrounds learn how to read.
Yeah, but
you don't see that money right away.
No, but I think certain businesses invest in their people, whether it's giving them good health care, you know, paying for their education. I mean, listen, I don't know who that business person is. They're good people out there. I'm not saying that makes you qualified to run the country, but I'm not going to say it doesn't make you qualified. I'm just saying it did not work in this case. And there was no reason.
I would much rather see the Ben and Jerry's guys run the country than what's going on
well,
now.
Well, I don't know if I want to see that either.
I'm just saying they at least pay their subcontractors.
But what I'm saying with this is there was no reason to think anything in this guy's background, even his business background, and Joe's day program had experiences with his business program, and Joe has told us they had to have special Trump rules when trying to get paid on stuff and everything.
Well, you know, it's business. You just mark stuff up another 12%, and that covers your 3-month pay.
I understand, but what I'm saying is there's no indication from Trump's background that he was going to be good in this job. When your catchphrase is "you're fired," that doesn't inspire me to make you the president. What, is he going to fucking fire us? All right, liberals, you're fired. Pelosi, you're fired. Lindsey Graham, you spoke out of turn. You're fired.
Oh, Nirvana. Oh.
You just made Joe come.
All right, that's a sentence I never want to hear again. You broke the show. That is awful. All right, well, that was way more Trumpy than I wanted to fucking talk. But anyway, Joe, I hope you're not depressed. I listen, but it's normal if you are. I get depressed.
No, I you know what? I mean, that was. I mean, it was very weird because it's like, I mean, it was very sweet that all these people were coming out. It's going to be okay. But I was speaking for all of us, not just me. I had to reword the thing 3 times. That it's not my beat, but don't you feel like Eeyore lately? You know,
yeah, man.
That you just take everything. You know, nothing is shocking. Nothing is this. You lose a loved one. You lose this. There's no gigs. The concerts are canceled. And you just go through life like Eeyore. And believe me, usually something. You know, I usually try to word something, and it's like I try to reword that. Every which way to Sunday, but you know, I guess it is what it is.
You can't reward a shitstorm, and we are in the middle of a shitstorm, and there's really nothing to look forward to. I mean, maybe I'll take the family down to the beach once or twice this year, you know, but we're not taking our normal vacation. There's not that to look forward to. As Joe said, there's no concerts to look forward to. There's no ball games. You know, I was talking to Rich Carucci, our pal, and he's putting together these free shows outside. And comics are begging to do them. Comics are, like, so depressed. They're, like, suicidal, he says. I mean, I love my job, but I'm just not there yet. I don't see, it's not worth it to me. I really want to perform, but it's not worth it to me. But I get it. People are depressed. So, yeah, man, people wanted you to be okay, and I think a lot of people feel the same way you think. I think, in a way, you were speaking for everyone. You just didn't word it that way. You worded it as, this is what you're going through. But I mean, I saw Pip's comment.
Right.
You know, Pip said she's sleeping all the time, and you know, normally Pip is up and about, so active. So it was shocking to read something like that.
Well, you know, a friend of mine posted something. He was saying, and this person is very creative, and the artist goes, "Do you feel, you know, as an artist, do you feel that, you know, with the free time that you have, your motivation is really not there? I can't seem to get anything done." And, you know, and I wrote them and I said, well, you know, thank you in a way for posting that. I go, I have video clips I have to get done. I've got 3 YouTube pages to set up with various projects. I have 3 original song ideas I have to present to one of my bands. And I go, and all I do is watch me TV, you know, and I go, I don't have the wherewithal, you know, and I've got a shitload of stuff to do. With that being said, I was listening to a show about in regards to business on what's the best thing to do during this situation, and it's get prepared to come out on the other side. Prepare your brand, prepare your, you know, which I'm going to start doing to get all that stuff done. So when we do come out of it, the website has got new clips on it. The Weight of the World is done. Dick Eldorado's got stuff up, you know. Just to be ready to come out on the other side and be prepared to move on. This way, when the bell does ring, you know, you have everything to set out of veils and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, you used your time wisely. When I had those weeks off, I did a lot of stuff around my house. Eventually, I finally set my house up after 3 years, so that was good. But on the creative side, I didn't really, maybe the exception of a couple of Dick Eldorado videos on the creative, I didn't do shit.
Let's see. I started a business. Let's see, what else have I this keeps me very busy. You know, getting the show together and dealing with scammers. I spent a lot of time with the scammers. I feel like I've been the engine during this for our project Flush. I feel like I'm the one who's trying to get us forward and everything, because we've all put a lot of work into it. So I feel like I've been the one behind that. Where I'm really lacking motivation is with my book, which I've started writing. I got the foreword written. I got chapter one written. Chapter two is a fucking doozy, because I'm like talking about like a lot of my experiences with dealing with scammers and everything. So I'm going back and listening to old clips with Flory and everything. And I don't like writing to begin with. I don't have that discipline to sit and write. So that's where I'm like, God, I wish I was more motivated for this.
Well, even writing for the comedy. I mean, I was at Governor's 2 weeks ago hanging out. And like I said, I was dressed to be hanging out. So the owner asked me, you know, he goes, you wish you had some pants on, stuff. I put you up, maybe you do 10. And I'm like, well, thanks, but I go, I'm not really ready yet. Because if I went up right now, you know, obviously as a comic, you want to have a beginning and you want to have your end. And then in the middle, you either free form or you do whatever style you do. I don't have a beginning or an end yet. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to end. I do have about 4 pages of notes and a bunch of ideas, which I need to sit with and do, because basically where I am with this now, and there's a guy that has some open mics, I might need to do a couple of open mics, because my next gig, technically on paper, is going to be opening for Adam Ferrara up at Mohegan Sun on October 10th and 11th. If that gig goes, that's showtime in a club and a casino. And I can't be sniffing around figuring out what to do, you know. So I'm a little apprehensive, but I really need to get that done, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to keep yourself motivated. I'm having a hard time. Like I said, this show keeps me busy, coming up with topics and dealing with the scammers. You know, the scammers can be quite time consuming, but yeah, I feel like I should be doing more. I feel like I'm not as lazy as a lot of people. Like, I have not binge-watched like an animal like a lot of people are. But, you know, I'm not spending time calling...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not spending time like calling bookers like I would hustling work. Tomorrow I'm probably going to call to see if I can get my my Bahamas date for next year. But, you know, and here's the thing. I probably won't get a lot of things for 2021 that I was expecting, because I'm, you know, if these guys have any heart, the people that were canceled, you know, they get first dibs.
I feel right. And I feel odd calling any booker about any gig. It's like, do you think you have anything cooking? Are you fucking kidding me? You know, that's what I would feel. I mean, you know. Just from that point, that you've got to be kidding me.
Well, there is comedy going on. I mean, comedy is starting to open up. Do you want to do it inside? Some places are. I don't know. A lot of those places that are doing it are in places where they're having really bad situations right now with COVID-19. I mean, there's outside. I mean, there's more than there was in March. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, man. I mean, I really want to work. I really want to do this. But, you know, maybe I'll call them.
Like I said, I want to do a couple of mics and look it over and just be on the cautious side just to get this 10 minutes I have out.
I'm not risking my life for a mic. I'm not risking it for a mic. I know I can work out the 10 minutes in my house. You can do the same thing, too. Yeah, you know your act. You know your voice. You have the chops. You know more or less what's going to work or not going to work, especially for 10 minutes. At this point, you can fake 10 minutes. You've been doing this long enough. You look over your notes for a couple hours. You look at some videos of your old performances. You know, you have an idea. You mix in some new stuff in there. You can fucking fake 10 minutes. If you told me you had to do 30 or 45, okay, now we're talking. But, you know, if I was you, I would...
All right. Well, I'm going to be doing, in October, probably, I guess, 25.
Right, but we're not at that place yet. The going out to a mic in the next month is not going to help you in October. You know that. There's not. It's gonna do nothing for you. Now, if you tell me, listen, we're in the same situation, end of August, beginning of September, and nothing's opened up, but there's some mics, and you got to work some stuff out. Then I go, all right, be safe, be careful.
That might be a point because it's not like Davin, do you tell yourself that, because we haven't been, the consensus with a lot of comics was the week of March 14th was the last that we've ever, that we all watched.
Yeah, that's the week, we were all, the radio show was off that week. I was traveling and probably had COVID-19.
Right, yeah. So the consensus with a lot of the comics, maybe a couple of city people picked up a couple of things, but basically the consensus is the last weekend we all worked was March 14th. So my whole thing is that I go, sometimes I go, can I still do this? And I'm like, yeah, you could still do, because I'll make up a joke or I'll put a bit on Facebook. I go, yeah, I could still do this. But you are right in the fact that I don't, it's not like, I got to get on stage. I want to be out there. Comic is what I do. I love doing stand-up. I always did. But it's not a necessary thing for me. I mean, like, before I was getting ready for the show, I was thinking of, like, the rest of the week. And I have band rehearsal. We have rehearsal on Fragile Sky. We have rehearsal on Friday. Saturday, I was thinking of going to the beach, but might not. So I'm thinking about Saturday afternoon, and I'm like, oh, yeah, All in the Family's on. The shows are on. Maybe I'll barbecue and I'll kick back. And I'm kind of looking forward to that. I'm a fucking performer. I need to be in a club, you know? But the thing about it is I was talking to a couple of guys at Ant's party, you know, Downey and stuff like that, and it's like it is what it is, but – we all can't live like civilians much longer.
No, of course, man. It is what, and like I've done about three online shows. It is what it is, man. Listen, Saturday night is not show night right now, so you just make the best of it.
I did two of them. I was with John LaRocchia, and basically he goes, you want to do your material, or you want to just talk and talk? I go, let's do, and thank God for this show that,
I don't count that LaRocchia show that we did as one of my online performances, because that was just talking.
I was just talking and riffing.
Yeah.
Which was fun, and we do it because we do this for 3 hours a week, so it was fun. It wasn't anything out of the wheelhouse. But, you know, even doing that, you felt good. You were talking, you were discussing a topic, you know, and kind of riffing on it. But just straight stand up. Yeah, I need to find that beginning and that end.
My fear is my first show back, whenever that is, I'm going to have to headline and do 45 minutes to an hour. And there's no way you can prepare for that unless you're doing that. That's like these Zoom shows, you do 10, 15, 20 minutes. That's what you're doing. Nobody's sitting up there. Nobody should be sitting up there on a Zoom show for 45 to 60 minutes. And, I'm going to have a lot of anxiety before that happens. I'm probably going to have nightmares that I forgot my act like I do. That's the one recurring dream in my life, that I forgot my act. That is constantly in my life. But you know what? If the time comes and it's getting close, I'll hit mics if there's mics. I'll figure it out. But for you to start going out now to do an open mic for no money for a gig in October, nah, it's not going to do anything for you now. The two times you go up for 10 minutes on beginning of July, middle of July, end of July is going to do nothing for you in October. You know it's about getting up there regularly.
That's actually a valid point. Also, another thing in my wheelhouse is the Santa Claus gigs. Now, I've already booked one. And the booker and I had a talk to see where this is going to go, and we have it booked and played by ear. But when we get close to December, where we are with this, you know, I mean, I'm going into a house party full of people, full of kids and stuff like that. The kids are all over me. So if it's still at the rate it is, I mean, if the curve has been way beyond flattened, you know, we'll talk about it. But if it's still an issue, I might have to talk with the booker and discuss how I feel about it.
Let me tell you, here's going to be one of the key factors in your decision-making process. If, by and large, the kids are still online learning and not in schools, you're not doing Santa Claus. It probably won't be allowed legally. But just from an intelligence standpoint, if the kids can't be in school, where you can social distance to a degree, you can't be going into people's houses and singing loud. You can wait from the front yard. You could hurl them gifts. You can sing in the driveway. There can be some hybrid type of Santa Claus gig that you're doing. but you can't be going into people's houses.
Let me tell you something. When that conversation happens, those three things, I might discuss. And we're not going to mention the name of the book, but we both know her well. So I might even discuss that, or as we get close into November, whatever, discuss on doing alternate style of show, doing it in the front yard, singing carols with the people in the house. I could stand in the front yard with the people, you know, social distancing.
Here's what I would do. Here's what I would do if I were you. I would actually sit. You would talk about being creative. I would sit now and start trying to design an alternative show where you can social distance. And as soon as you came up with that show, I would pitch it to that booker and go, listen, you can start putting them on the books if you like. Because here's my alternative. If we can't do it where the kids are all around me, I have this show that I've designed. So we can make it either way. And this is how you sell it. Either way, those kids are going to have a great Santa Claus experience. That's what I would be doing if I were you.
Yeah. You know, and just have the gifts, you know, have a teacher or a family member hand out the gifts while I sit there, you know, because I mean, I sing Christmas carols. I do this, you know,
you sing Christmas carols from outside. The kids come outside. Everybody puts on their coat. Santa sings outside with your sound system. You know, you have the gloves, the kids, you have the bag, and then you hand the bag to the parent to give out the gifts and everything. You're leading the kids in Christmas carols. Ho, ho, ho. That's how you do it. You can't be having them on your lap. You can't be inside the house. That's how you sell the show. Again, why am I wasted here? I could be doing so much.
Yes. Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, and basically the whole thing is the intimacy of having Santa Claus there, but I, you know.
No, yeah, if things are the way right now, nobody wants Santa in the house. Nobody knows where you've been. They fucking see your parties from the 4th of July. Get that Santa out of my house. He didn't social distance on the 4th of July.
You're going for the joke, but that's not, you know, that's, if I was a parent, I would have that concern too. You know, not only are my family members coming in, but this guy playing Santa. What's his deal?
That's why I'm telling you. I would design a social distancing COVID-19 Santa Claus show. I'd work it out. Then I'd present it to the book and go, here's the thing. I'm going to let you sell this under the agreement. First of all, my rate's going to go up a little bit. Yours is going to go down a little bit because I designed this show. Otherwise, you'd be hurting. But you're going to sell it. I get a bigger rate. You get a lesser rate if we sell this show. And I get right of first refusal on every one of these Santa Claus gigs. If I'm already booked, then fine. You can give it to your other Santa Clauses. But I get right of first refusal because I created the show.
And you know how high strung she gets. I mean, she sees her shadow. She fucking thinks.
No, you know what? She's a smart woman. She's going to be fucking thrilled that you figured out a way to salvage her busy season if you do this. Because that's what you were doing. Because I guess she hasn't come up with a plan. Maybe she has. I don't know. She's an intelligent woman. She's a nice woman. She's high strung.
She's a sharp cookie. I bet her thing right now is because she does all, like, the character parties this time of year. So it's like, I feel bad, it's just along like with Dino and all the others. I feel bad for them because you know Jesus Christ, all they got to do is sit there, and you figure with her, you know, it's the parties, and you know it really sucks, but you know it is what it is.
Yeah, but that's what I would be doing, man. If I was you, I would figure out how long it would be. I'd have a couple different versions of it, longer and shorter. That's what I would be doing. Social distance Santa. That's what I would be doing if I were you. It's catchy. It's
not a bad idea.
A very COVID Christmas.
Nobody wants COVID Santa.
Santa's bringing infection.
You know what, Tip? This year, I think they might. You know, because basically, you got to remember, Pip. Everything is you have to. I go, yeah, we could do this, but these are the parameters to do it. And you're like,
yep.
Well, it beats not doing it at all.
I'm saying you have to present her with it, and you have, before you present it, you have to tell her the terms that you want a bigger cut because this is a show that you designed. Listen, I'm her, you know, with the roast, she sells me usually before others because I designed a lot. Like, I have the questions and everything. So if you're putting in the work for this and you've designed a social distance Santa, you should get a bigger cut. So she normally gets two bills. She gets 150. You get the extra 50. Whatever you think is right. Whatever you know you think is fair. You know the work that's put in. I can fucking design the show for you and give me a cut, but I've given you a lot of good fucking ideas. I mean,
I know.
So that's what I would do, and you, at least you, and you'd feel like you were being creative.
Yeah.
Look at me, Pip. Thank you. Solving problems. Now you've been sleeping late. I'll solve your problem too. Cocaine.
All right then.
I like this. I feel cocaine will be good for keeping you up, and I also find it helps drop pounds. So I feel cocaine is the cure all that I'm looking for. Maybe you're looking for it too. I don't know.
Weight loss.
What? Cocaine will keep you up.
See, we're not really doing a radio show. Normally, I solve the world's problems. Today, I solve both of you.
Who needs a septum?
You're helping. Everybody's enjoying a staff meeting.
Exactly. Pip, you know what? It's only if you use cocaine for a long period of time. Eventually, COVID-19 will end. Some say it'll be as soon as the election because, you know, those fucking libtards, you know, infecting the world to get Trump out of office. So it'll end.
If it's a liberal conspiracy and Trump's out of office, then we don't have to do it anymore.
No, then Joe can have a very the normal Christmas, and he'll be conflicted. He gets to do his normal Santa Claus gigs, but his boyfriend's out of office. Will be out of office. What will Joe do? And those will be interesting radio shows too.
It'll be a new show. Joe will do what he always does.
Go for the money.
Oh, so Joe will be happy. I didn't like Trump that much anyway. Thank God Biden's in office. Now, come on, Junior. Sit on my lap. Tell me what you want for Christmas.
Well, that's sounding a little bit more like the board game we were talking about earlier.
Yes, which nobody heard except for me. And I've been scarred for that. But let us take our first...
Sorry.
Yeah, just so you guys know, you think I'm the creep? Nay, nay. Pip and Joe are by far the creeps. Yeah. I will just say this. Do not invite them to career day at your elementary school. These are not the people you want around children. I will just tell you that.
Could you see us on Shark Tank with that game?
That'd be fantastic.
So let me get this straight.
Best episode ever.
Well, there is.
Get out!
There is a market for it. Anyway, all right. Let's take our first break. First story when we come back: Juneteenth, national holiday at the expense of Columbus Day. What say you? And we got a bunch of other stories too. But on the break, we have new music from Little Grace with Birthday and Bailey and the Ghost.
And I can't say what I wanted because it hurts to be honest. Digging dirt in the forest, trying to search, trying to forage. Three little words. Free. You got a house, sentiment, and a family tree. But please don't say you forgot about me. I hope I'm not too late for the party. I held on to your letters and I hope that you reply. Never thought that you'd do better, but here's my reasons why. Te amo, pero no te quiero. I heard you crying from your window. Te amo, pero no te quiero. Said I wanna, but I just can't. From your window, te amo, pero no te quiero. Said I wanna, but I just can't let go.